Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Lägger det hårt, det är skarpt. Och det når fram till en helt fri Hjertansson. Och det är 2-1 för Hammarby. Han har en målkänsla som går utöver det vanliga.
Ah, vad ska Sleven vara i grytan naturligtvis. Alla missar bollen där som inte missar. Hjertansson naturligtvis rakt upp i nättaket.
Med 3 mål, bland annat den matchavgörande fullträffen i derbyt mot Djurgården, så har Hammarbys lånevärvning vidare en Hjertansson återigen visat att hans signatur kommer med en målgaranti. Efter en knackig start på säsongen har Hammarby nu börjat lyfta, men frågan är hur länge man har råd att behålla sin isländska målskytt. Lånet från Rostov löper ut i mitten av juli, men i den här podcasten berättar i alla fall Hjertansson att han gärna stannar på Södermalm säsongen ut.
You know, I enjoy life in Stockholm, I enjoy football here, I enjoy being in Hammarby, but like I said, you know, we have to ask the Russians, you know, to finish the season here, I would really want it, but will they allow it? I'm not sure.
Och vi pratar om det faktum att Hammarby är hans tredje klubb på mindre än ett år, och varför han aldrig fick förtroendet i ryska Rostov, trots att han var en av klubbens dyraste värvningar någonsin.
They will never understand why they bought me, but this happens many times in Europe, you know, the president buys some players without maybe the coach knowledge.
Och Hjertansson minns naturligtvis tillbaka till sin första session i Allsvenskan, men då i Malmö FFs färger, där han gjorde stor succé till slut, men inledningsvis hade svårt att göra mål och blev rejält ifrågasatt.
It was really, actually, it was probably my toughest period in my career, the first 6 games there, you know, and like mentally I was like lost a little bit.
Men podden är naturligtvis mer än det här, och vi pratar om Hammarbys krissamtal efter Malmö-matchen som fick part på klubben. Om den tunga nobben från Lars Lagerbäck när det inte blev något EM-spel. Om varför han la av i landslaget. Och hur Erik Hamrén övertalade honom att komma tillbaka. Men vi inleder som vanligt podden med en faktaruta. H.
29.
Where do you live?
Stockholm.
Family?
Girlfriend and one son.
Education?
Nothing.
Salary?
Decent one.
Car?
Range Rover.
Hobby?
Chess. Golf. Football.
Language? Or languages?
Icelandic, little bit Swedish, little bit Hebrew. Yeah, not so much. English, of course.
Who is the best player in the world?
I used to say Cristiano Ronaldo, but after Barcelona, Liverpool, I have to say Lionel Messi, without a doubt.
Which is your favorite team and why?
It's Arsenal, and the reason is my father, and he let me watch games when I was like 3 or 4, and we went to many games together. I think I was 5 when I went to Arsenal Man United, so that's, he is the reason.
What's the biggest that you won as a football player?
Wow. I think, you know, when I get the golden boots in different 4 countries, it's I think it's my biggest achievement. And also I won the title with Malmö Cup in China. It's difficult to pick between from there.
Which rule in football
would you like to change?
Wow, that's a tough one. Wow, that's a tough one. Rule. Yeah, you can take your shirt off without being getting yellow card for it. You know, it's I think it's, and also you can go to the fence a little bit without getting your fence without getting booked.
The best player that you've played with?
Gets tougher and tougher. Gylfi Sigurðsson, Everton.
Everton, okay. Gylfi, okay. Which is the toughest opponent, or who is the toughest opponent of you that you've met?
Met a couple of tough ones through the years. You know, I played against, you know, it must be someone you play international level. I played against Eden Hazard once, you know, and, you know, don't need to discuss the rest, I think.
What have you practiced most in your career to develop?
Develop? Finishing, definitely, you know, that's my strength. And I've made sure, I've done a lot of extra trainings, I made sure I'm, my stamina is good and I'm fit enough to run for 90 minutes, you know, because I had like asthma when I was a kid, you know, and I felt I had to do more than those, so.
Which goal do you look at YouTube when you want to get in a good mood?
Oh my god. I scored two goals against the Maccabi Haifa away. One of them was 93rd minute, and the finish was quite good, I have to say. Both of them were really, it was cut back, and the finish was good, and I do it many times. But, you know, when you need confidence, it's good to go to YouTube. And this is probably looked at most.
In school, what was your best subject? And we cancel out gymnastics.
Okay. Believe it or not, mathematics. Math, yeah, basically, like, yeah, I was good when I was younger, when I was, you know, but then I stopped paying attention in classes and then it got, like, downwards, so mathematics. Well,
what makes you afraid?
Flying a little bit, animals, many like dangerous animals, get really scared, and also bees or hornets, wasp.
When was the last time you were really happy?
Really happy. I think I was really happy after we. After the victory against the Jurgården, I was really happy. Yeah, that's probably the last time.
What has been your toughest crisis in life?
Probably when I got injured, 19 years old. Or maybe my time in Russia also was not easy, you know, but... You know, I was, you know, it's probably when I was 19, injured ACL, and he didn't play football 1 year, and that was a difficult time.
What's the most expensive gadget or thing that you've bought?
Thing that I bought? Like apartment. Yes, I bought apartment in Iceland. It's probably the most expensive one.
Widgren,
ja, mycket bra.
Hittar då fram till Kjartansson och det är kvitterat. Islänningen slår till. Örnen har landat. Ja, frågan var inte om utan när skulle första målet för Vidar Örn Kjartansson komma. Det kommer här efter drygt 18 minuters spel på Olympia.
Norge, Kina, Sverige, Israel. Oavsett liga eller klubbadress så har Vidar Örn Kjartansson levererat mål för sina arbetsgivare. Den egenskapen är naturligtvis guld värd i fotbollseuropa och är anledningen till att Hammarby var villig att betala honom ett miljonbelopp för ett korttidslån fram till i juli. Förra gången han spelade i Allsvenskan blev det ett knappt halvår i Malmö FFs tröja och det är egentligen bara i Maccabi Tel Aviv han stannat längre än en säsong. Börjar han känna sig lite som en legosoldat i fotbollens tjänst.
You play for Hammarby, you've scored some goals. What is your feeling after coming to Hammarby?
It's good, you know, like first two games, you know, we were not there, you know, new, like some new players and we didn't get results. Yeah, first three games, to be honest. And then after that, you feel we are becoming better for sure. And yeah, I think by like after now we're just gonna improve and just get better. I think the team has more confidence now, and you feel like we're playing well, we're scoring goals, and I think the fans also they believe more after we get results, and just feel really good. You know, to be honest, after the first three games, it didn't feel so good. Like I was thinking, you know,
why did I choose this?
No, club? Like more like you know what's you know what do we have to do better? What do I have to do better? You know, because we didn't get any results. We had 2 points, and but it's all about patience. And you know, you see first two three games, all of the teams were losing and losing points, and I think, you know, we just needed to break the ice a little bit, you know, have one victory, and yeah, I think now last if you minus second half against Malmö, then the last performances has been really good, you know, and just I'm looking forward for the next games.
And what do you feel? How's your relationship with Stefan Billborn, the coach? What do you like his way of working?
I like it, you know. It's like then also the other twos.
Joakim Pablo, Pino, Sasha.
They are like they work really well together, you know, and they are really involved, all of them, in this what they're doing. And I like how they think of football, you know, and I think it's really good, you know. They're professional, and you know what they're talking about, and. You know, it's really nice. You know, they're not like, you know, screaming everywhere. Like really, you have had coaches before who are like, it's more like noise, you know, like they're loud, but they are more like, you know, calm and just like telling you what exactly they want. And so far, it has been really good, you know.
And the team, quite a few characters, Djurdjic and Tankovic. How do you gel into a team like that when you come as you're here on a loan?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I didn't know many of the players before I came, and but I can see now, like, you know, it's a lot of tough characters, good characters, you know, and also you see it on the pitch. Also, we have many players who can win games, you know, and it's just really good, like. And the quality is better than I thought, to be honest. And I think Hammarby is, you know, after I've been here like for some time now, I see this is, you know, we have the team to go far, and it's even better. You have like experienced players and a lot of different types. And
do you think they can challenge the top teams and win?
With you know, a couple of things we need to improve, and absolutely, if we get on a run, you know, if we win a couple of games now in a row, I mean, everything is possible for sure. And last year they showed that definitely they can play good in this league, and I think now it's all about, you know, getting more confidence in the team, fix the things we need to fix, and then I think this team. Definitely, they can challenge and be in top three.
You said when you came to Hammarby that you wanted to come to a team that plays the ball on the ground, and you feel that you're doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and also we create a lot of chances. We cross the ball a lot. I mean, like last game, we should have scored like 5-6 goals or even more. We had all of like the four strikers, we had like, you know, 3-4 chances each, you know, and so it was really good. And from what I came, like from where I came, come from, like now, Russia, I mean, it was totally different. So I just wanted to go back to basic and play like football I like, and where you can use me more than just if you play long balls, for example. So it's even better than I expected, like how we play football, and I really enjoy it.
And you played for Malmö in 2016, and now 3 years later, what's your view of Allsvenskan? Is it better, worse?
I think it's a little bit better, you know. It's many teams, you know. You see the games everywhere you play. You have to fight for every point, you know. And I mean, for example, Örebro, they are like almost at the bottom, but they gave us game in the end. They scored 2 goals. You cannot relax for a second. And I think if you're not ready, then you can be in trouble in every game. I mean, so I think it's more like it's more even now, and it's better.
And playing for Hammarby, everyone who comes to Hammarby, they talk about the fans, and you've been in Israel and in different places. How do you rate the fans and the atmosphere in the stadium?
It's quite amazing, you know. And I was in Israel. There was a lot of fans also, but a smaller stadium. And I mean, it's magnificent, you know. If you learn how to use it the right way, some players, if you're young, you see 30,000 people. All like, you have to use it on a positive way. Don't take like, don't feel too much pressure or something. It's they are cheering for you. And And like I said, you know, I think we played 3 times at home now, four. And we played really well at home, and they have their part in that, definitely. And I think we can use it in our advantage to have such a good fans.
But how do you, you say you have to use it in the right way, but it's not that easy. Some players have hard to handle the pressure that follows. How do you handle the pressure?
Yeah, I mean, it can be difficult, you know, when the game is not going the right way, or you may be losing or something. And but I think with experience, you like take it as like you know, you use it as like support for you, and you get the adrenaline from them, and just use it the right way. Maybe if you're young and not experienced, then you like feel a little bit pressure to have so many fans, you know, watching every game. But you know, I just feel like, you know, they're cheering for me, and they want me to win the game or us. So yeah.
You've scored 3 goals so far, and how much of a relief is it to score a goal when you brought here just to score goals in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I always said, you know, it's, even though, you know, first 2-3 games, usually I'm not scoring so much, you know, in teams I've been in. And but early in the season, I'm talking about the first half of the season, or like first 5-10 games, it's good to be on the score sheet, and even better if you score and it means something. It's not like a consolation goals, or maybe you're not like scoring one game and you don't score next 4 games. So it's good to score regularly, and scoring goals, which are important. And for me, it's of course good to have confidence, and I hope I can score more. I mean, I should have scored at least 2 goals last game, and but when we're winning, it doesn't matter really who scored the goals, so I'm happy.
Do you have like a bonus for every goal you score?
No, I thought that. I think, you know, it used to be like that probably, but you know, last couple of years, I think at least, you know, maybe in the biggest teams you have something. But what I know, I think I've never, you know, I think I had in Iceland, I had some bonus to score, but I haven't had since that. So
how come everyone knows that Djurgården wanted you as well, and maybe other Swedish clubs, how come you chose Hammarby?
It happened really quickly, you know. I mean, I think in March, at some point, you know, I know I was not gonna play like from the start in Russia in Rostov. And then they told me like, if you want, you can go on loan. And I said, I mean, maybe it's better. And but they said that only until the summer. And then I spoke with my agent to maybe, you know, look for, you know, something, some place for me to go until the summer. And then it's only Sweden, Norway, USA. It's not many places you can go to in at this point.
Yeah, because for those who don't know, you left Israel to go to Russia, and then you couldn't change in you had to go to a league that starts in the spring.
I couldn't, like, in January it was like a lot of interest, and but actually I couldn't leave. It would be my third club of the season. That's a weird rule, but that's how it is. I played qualification in Israel, and then all of a sudden some Swedish clubs, they contacted my agent, I didn't have many days to decide, and Hammarby was the one, like, I was most, yeah, I was like really interested to go to Hammarby, you know, the fans, and I already spoke to the boys who played here before, so yeah, it was just like, you know, I just took a decision like quite quick, and the other clubs, definitely good clubs, but you know, I thought Hammarby was the right place for me at this point.
And Malmö, you told me when I interviewed you in TV that Malmö, you never spoke to Malmö.
No, I actually never spoke to Malmö. No, and I mean, to be honest, I think most of the clubs in March, they have their squad, you know, they have everything ready, and if you look at Malmö, they have like five strikers or something, so you know, it's no reason to add the sixth striker or fifth striker to the squad. So it was only like clubs who really needed striker, I think, that contacted me. So I think Malmö was never involved in this.
How is it to be like a player on loan? It must be very special to know that, at least now, I know that I'm only going to be here until July. And I mean, the season continues until November.
Yeah, it's weird feeling, you know, in some way. I mean, it's the first time I go on loan, and it's, you know, you just have to focus on, you have to take, like, you know, one day at a time, you know, just try to do well on the pitch, and you never know what happens in July. I mean, they gave me that message from Russia. They wanted me to play like 90 minutes and score some goals and try to keep my value, because they bought me for some amount, you know.
How much did they pay?
I think, you know, it could end up in three point something, I don't know.
Like, 3 million euros.
Yeah, like somewhere there. And that, I think it's the biggest signing they made. They usually don't buy players for that much, so... So they actually want me to play every game and keep my value here, and they only wanted me to stay to 15th of July.
So in a way, you're just in the shop window for the transfer window in the summer.
That's maybe how they look at it. You know, they look at it this way. You know, to keep the value so it won't drop. Just if I stay there on the bench and play only 20 minutes. And it's if I think too far, you know, I think it's difficult, you know, if you think like, wow, okay, I don't know where my future is, you know, heading, you know, and I don't know where I play in August or something like this. Then you start thinking too much. You just like, I try now as much as I can just to be like, you know, excited for the next game, and try to do my best here until 15th of July. Then we will see what happens. I mean, something might happen in the meantime, you never know. So,
yeah, I mean, you're well paid, so in a way, it's you're taken care of. But still, you're only kind of like someone buying, selling, keeping the value. What are your feelings about that?
I mean, players, they're like, you know, some investment these days, you know. So it's quite difficult, you know. You always want to have if you know, for example, you would finish the season here when I came, then it's like you feel like, you know, no pressure, just like enjoying, and you know, I know I'm going to stay here until November or whatever. But now you feel like, okay, you have, you know, this short window to just play games, play well, and whatever. But yeah, it's a different feeling, you know. And but I think to get the best out of this experience, and I think it's best for me also just to think, you know, I have to play well until 15th of July, and then we will see, you know. Just try to stop think about, you know, where my future is going to be after this.
What are the chances that you are will be staying in Hammarby?
It's difficult to say. I mean, I feel, you know, I enjoy life in Stockholm. I enjoy football here. I enjoy being in Hammarby. But like I said, you know, we have to ask the Russians, you know. I don't know what they're thinking at this moment, you know, in the summer. I mean, they will probably contact me about the next steps. But, I mean, to finish the season here, I would really want it. But will they allow it? I'm not sure.
And if it's not that probable that Hammarby would pay 3 million euros to bring you here?
It's, I think it's... long shot, you know. It doesn't happen in Swedish football. You sell players for this amount abroad, but you know, don't buy players for this amount. So yeah, it would be, I think it would be too big pressure for everyone if this would happen.
If you dream, where do you want to go in July?
I mean, I always wanted to play in places like England and Germany. And I've been close a couple of times, and but you know, like I said, here, somewhere else, I want to play in a good club, you know, where people believe in me, and in a good place for my family. So, but you know, football wise, you know, I would love to play in place like Germany.
What has stopped you from joining a club in England? You say you've been close, but what has been the hatch?
I mean, I think where I've played, like last couple of years, it's always been like, you know, if I would be a bit cheaper, it would have been much easier to go to other clubs. But when, for example, when you're playing in Israel, Sweden, and some clubs, Germany, England want to buy you, and they say, the what do you say? Yeah, the value is like 4 or 5 million or even more, then okay, we go for the cheaper option. I think the clubs think like that because they always have a couple of options, you know, on their papers. So I think the price tag might be something who had stopped it in the future, in the past.
How come you ended up in Russia and in Rostov? I mean, you have Swedes there, there are Icelandic players there. I saw one of the games in Spain, and big squad, and now you and Saletros are gone. How come you ended up there?
I mean, I think the pressure that he lost Icelandic players, for sure. You know, when I came there, I was the fourth in the squad, Icelandic. And it happened quite quickly, you know. It was in the end of the transfer window, and my old club, Maccabi Tel Aviv, they had some issue. They actually didn't qualify for Europa League. Like, first time in 7-8 years, they don't go to Champions League or Europa League. And they had this financial fair play problems. You know, they were investigating them. And I think even now they cannot buy players for some time. And so they really needed to fix things and sell players, you know, and I was probably the first one to go out, you know, because they could get probably a little bit more from me than some other players. And and in the last day of the winter, I think they really needed to sell players, and then Rostov came in the picture. You know, they came a little bit earlier with the loan offer or something, and then in the end, last day, they reached an agreement with the Israeli team, and I was like, okay, I have 2 years left on my contract, and I want to try something new. Maybe I stayed there for 2 years, and it was really nice 2 years actually. And then Rostov were in second place in the league, and I was just, yeah, I mean, why not go to Russia and play there? It's a decent league, and yeah, I just want to see. Maybe that was a mistake after all. But
yeah, you've been open about that. That yeah. probably the president bought you, and the coach didn't know.
Yeah, I think it was like this. You know, I mean, it's not very often you buy players, and the coach just, you know, lets you start on the bench next 5-6 games. You know, I came in top shape. You know, I had been scoring a couple of goals. You know, and yeah, I think I started my first game after like, yeah, in the 5th game or 6th game I came, and then I played 55 minutes, you know, and he was rushing, taking me off the pitch, you know, it was like really weird. And then I didn't start more games in the league, only played the cup games. And I thought, you know, it didn't really, no matter what I did, you know, it didn't really matter, you know. So I felt like, you know, I had the feeling and still have it. It was not the coach's decision to get me there, to be honest.
The coach is a former great Russian player, Kapin, right?
Yeah.
And I guess Russia is not the place where you go up to the coach and ask, what's the problem?
No, I mean, if you ask too much, and if you, like, let's say you have to let him do his job, you know, I think if you're too much asking, hey, why I'm not playing and stuff like this, it could like end up against you, I think, if you do too much of that, you know. And
but did you check the club with Ragnar Sigurdsson, who plays there? Did you call him and ask, what kind of club is this?
I did actually, and they said, you know, they talked to the president, and the president asked, are we gonna be better team with him, and with him in the squad? They said definitely yes. And but, you know, I should have watched some games, but because, you know, how they play, it's not for me, definitely not. And, you know, when, yeah, it's like...
It's like buying an apartment in Stockholm sometimes. You have to hurry and you maybe don't...
Absolutely.
...check everything, and suddenly you end up with...
And I really never understood, you know, why they bought me, because, you know, the coach, you know, if you buy a new place, then you... especially a striker, and he needs like trust and everything like that, you know. And then you have to give him like 5-6 games just to like get into things, and then he maybe start scoring, and then things get better. But I had to come in from the bench, you know, last 20 minutes maybe, and try to run as much as I could, and yeah, then suddenly next game we had the same story all over again. So I will never understand why they bought me. But this happens many times in Europe, you know, the president buys some players without maybe the coach's knowledge.
You've done quite a few international transfers. Iceland to Norway, then Norway to China, China to Sweden, Sweden to Israel, Israel to Russia, and now to Sweden. What's the key to make a successful transfer? Is it to sit down with the coach, or is it to talk to the sporting director, or... What's the key, do you feel?
I mean, it's not easy to settle in soon, like quick, you know. I mean, when I was in Malmö, it took me a couple of months to reach my, like, you know, the level where I wanted to be. And Israel, it happened quite quick, but then I dropped like 2-3 months. I wasn't playing well, and then after I started playing better. Obviously, you have to have a good relationship with the coach and the sport director. You have to feel like they buy you as their number one striker, and so on. And they have to play the football which suits you. And but really, actually, it takes time to sign a new club and start playing well. I think it has been going well here, definitely for a short time.
But I think when you talk about the Russian transfer, that was quite late. And I, as I remember, the transfer from Malmö to Israel was also quite late in the transfer window. I guess you don't have the opportunity to check out the club.
No, you cannot, like, you know, start, you know, you maybe go to watch some highlights on YouTube and a little bit go on Google.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm going there. But you have to... When you're more experienced, you have to think about more things, you know, how they play and who's the coach and so on. I think after Malmö, I mean, I think I was so high up, you know, on confidence and everything when I left from Malmö to Tel Aviv, so everything was easier. And they started, you know, directly we went to Europa League, and I knew that they would play, like, good football. Rostov, I didn't do anything to check things, and I didn't speak to the coach or nothing, so yeah, it was also a mistake by me in that situation. But yeah, you have to, number one, especially for strikers, to feel like trust from people like sports director and coach. So I felt it here, felt it in Israel, felt it in Malmö. Didn't feel it in Russia really, and it went like it did.
Of course, it's your responsibility when you choose a club, but how important is your agent or other people around you when you make your choice?
Also, the agent, they have to help you. I mean, you have to take, it's better to take an offer with a little bit less contract and place you are, it's more realistic for you to do a good job instead of maybe choose the best contract and then you have to maybe really fight for it, you know. So I think, it's important to have agent who is also thinking about that it's good for you for the future. I think it was a mistake for me when I was 25 and I went to China, for example.
Was that only money that...
Yeah, obviously, you know, you just played in Norway, then you see, if you see, it's not easy to see a contract like this for the first time.
How much did you make in China? It's a couple of years back, so maybe you can tell
me. I had, good contract. I mean, it's...
What's a good contract? $2 million? $3 million a year?
It was not so much, but it was close to that, and it was a good contract. And when you're young and you see these amounts on paper, it's difficult to say no. So
I think most people probably, even though some people say, oh, why is he ruining his career? I mean, you put the sum on paper.
Yeah, then it's difficult when you're in the situation to say no. But I think, you know, football-wise, I should have waited a little bit longer. But, you know, I was a little bit desperate. It was in January and another season in Norway was about to start. So I think, but...
Always these late transfers.
yeah.
You haven't stayed that long in the clubs, except in Israel where you stayed. How come is that? You've changed it.
That's just, for strikers, you know, let's say you're not doing anything, goal drought, not scoring goals, team is not winning, then nothing is happening. But when you suddenly, when you start scoring, your team is winning every game, you're fighting at the top, then it's a lot of interest. Like, clubs get, feel the interest, you know, you feel the interest. And especially when it's transfer window 2-3 weeks until it closes, then teams are always looking for strikers. And
then you're in constant contact with your agent.
Then you have to take your phone off silent and answer the phone and see what they are telling you, your agent is saying, and all of the stuff like that. And
how many times do you get kind of disappointed? The agent calls, maybe Everton or whatever, and you get your hopes up, and then it doesn't. In the end, there is no deal. How often?
He's a smart guy, actually. He doesn't call me. You know, it has to be something really going on, so he calls me. He doesn't call me like, hey, it's one club like talking about you, or they were asking about you, or something like this. So he only calls me when there is something really going on. And a couple of times there has been some big clubs, you know, and he has told me, like, you're one of two, something like this. And then my hopes are up. I actually move there in my mind, you know. So it has been in...
And how do you handle the message that there was no deal?
Yeah, then I feel like the phone is not calling anymore. Then this happens, you know. I get quite disappointed. So he knows this, you know, he's experienced. And so he doesn't call me like every time, you know, I have this and this and this and that, you know. So he is smart, but he tells me when I'm one of two, for example, you know, somewhere, and this could happen. But he never, you know, he tries to... He keeps my hopes, you know, like on average. So yeah, I don't think too much about that, to be honest.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
In i straffområdet. Kjartansson vill ha bollen. Kjartansson gör mål!
Matchen mot Häcken blev en vändpunkt under Kjartanssons intensiva tid i Malmö FF 2016. Han hade kommit till klubben från den kinesiska ligan främst för att visa upp sig för Lars Lagerbäck och försöka ta en plats i den isländska EM-truppen den kommande sommaren. Men starten i Malmö FF blev inte alls som han hade tänkt och på de 6 inledande matcherna gjorde han inte ett enda mål. Men den 1 maj mot Häcken lossade och han gjorde totalt 14 mål på 12 matcher innan han i augusti såldes till Tel Aviv. Men för Kjartansson kom islossningen för sent för att få följa med på det isländska EM-äventyret samma sommar.
Gekt Danny Rose och Jói sem är sätter kunna Gylva. Gylva i första, Jonta och Kolpen. Kolpen! Pesko!
You were part of Malmö FF when they won the gold in 2016, even though you left in September. Did you get your medal?
Yeah, I got it actually. When I went out to Malmö to play with Hammarby, then they handed me the medal. So.
Oh no!
Yeah, no. They told me Mr. Kári Árnason, he had it, but I think they had it actually all that time, and they gave it to me. So it was good. That's my second golden medal I have. So I will put it in some safe place.
How was it to come with Hammarby to Malmö and get beat that bad?
It was not a good feeling. You know, I felt like I had a good feeling in first half. I think we were playing better. They didn't create nothing. I mean, it's normal. You're playing there that they have the ball more ball possession, and they're always dangerous when they play there. But to lose 4-1, that's like tragic. I mean, you know, and it happened so easy and happened in such a short time that you scored those 4 goals. I was like numb after this game, and we were actually, the players, we were so unhappy, and we took a little chat after this game to prevent it would never happen again. And
the players?
This was like more mental thing, I think. Even though if Malmö are playing against my, like, Selfoss, my hometown club, they would like struggle scoring 4 goals in like 20 minutes. I mean, it's not supposed to happen. So I think, you know, we just absolutely, we crashed. So I think it's something we have to work on, like, mentally. This cannot happen. I mean,
the meeting, was it only the players or?
Yeah, we took some meeting, you know, just to little bit to clear the air, because and it was important. I think we started playing better after that, and it's just so we everyone can talk and.
In a meeting like that, who talks?
Yeah, like everyone. I mean, done it a couple of times in the other teams I've been in, but when this happened, it's important for players just to speak out if there's something we can fix. And
was it after the game, or immediately after the game, or was it a couple of days after?
Two days after.
Who has the initiative of calling a meeting like that?
I think we were a couple of players who, like, we knew, okay, this is gonna do good for us to speak about this this game, you know, because I mean, I haven't watched the game again, but I felt like first half, okay, I think we're gonna win this game. I think we played better, we played clever, and then suddenly, second half after 25 minutes, it's 4-1. I mean, then something need to be discussed, I think.
Was it special for you, since you've been in Malmö before, and you were really successful in Malmö?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit maybe weird feeling to play there, and but yeah, I mean, really, I'm disappointed after the game, you know, that I couldn't, actually, the second half was so bad that you barely touched the ball, and you couldn't actually show anything in a way. So yeah, I want to forget this game as soon as possible.
Looking back to your time in Malmö, you had quite a tough start, and then you scored almost every game. How do you look back at those 9 months?
Yeah, I had a rough start, definitely. And the team also, first like 4 or 5 games, like struggling. And then I just went back to basics, started doing more on the training ground. And yeah, like, it was really, actually, it was probably my toughest period in my career, first 6 games there, you know, and I was really like...
You were kind of criticized because you were an expensive recruitment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a lot of things going on in my life there also. I was, it was like my son was coming to the world like right after I came, and then the national team was going to the Euros, and I was like, yeah, I was kind of nervous in a way, you know, I need to improve, and I was thinking too much, and yeah, there was a lot of changes going on there, and mentally I was like lost a little bit. And
did you feel that the club doubted you?
No, definitely not. They showed me support through this time, and felt immediately when I scored a hat-trick against Häcken. Everything got easier for sure. It's sometimes like this for strikers, you just need that one moment to change everything. And but they always supported me, they let me play even though I was maybe not playing at my best. So and they made a good decision there, instead of just like putting me on the bench for the next 5-6 games, to let me play until I get my confidence back. And thank God it happened. And yeah.
And they were paid back really well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a win-win for everyone, I think.
Were you surprised? You moved on to Israel, but were you surprised when Allan Kuhn got fired after winning the title?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably unheard of. You win the title and you get sacked, but... Who am I to judge? You know, I actually don't know what they were thinking there, and who was the coach after him, actually?
Then after him came Magnus Persson, and he stayed for 15 months.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have no idea, but that surprised me a little, to be honest. It's if you win the league and then you get sacked. I mean, it hasn't happened many cases, you know, it's first time.
Well, your relationship with Allan Kuhn?
It was good. He's a typical Danish guy, and a good guy. He wanted to play good football, and it was a big job for him, definitely. I mean, he was...
Yeah, because some people said he was kind of too close with the players, too much of a buddy with the players.
Maybe. I mean, he used to be assistant coach, and they have this different role than maybe the head coaches, and maybe he just needed some time to get used to how to like behave like as a head coach. But I think he was good, and he did a good job there, and maybe like players, they are used to something else or something like that. I don't know actually the story, but that's what Malmö did, and they made that decision, and yeah, it's, I don't know.
When you played in Malmö, Marcus Rosenberg was the leading player. Are you surprised that he's still the leading player?
Unbelievable. I mean, he was still really good when I was there, but now he's, what, 37 or something, and he's playing like he's 25. He's scoring goals, and he's also, it's not only that, he's playing really well, and he's fit, and yeah, he's a leader. I mean, really important for Malmö, and when he stops, it's they have a headache to you know, get someone in his place, because he's it's just surprised me a lot, you know, how good he is still.
Do you miss Malmö, playing for them?
I mean, I had a fantastic time there, you know, but things happen, like, changes quickly in football. You're always changing clubs and so on. But yeah, I had a great time there, and you know, I have a good memories there that I will never forget.
Do you have any contact with the other? I saw that you said hi to some of the players that were there when you were.
Yeah, a little bit, a couple of the players, and yeah, it's good guys, and I have many friends there still, and. It surprised me really how many players were there when I was there, and yeah, it's, I mean, it's a good club, and a good guys in the club also.
When I met you in Dubai, just when you moved to Malmö, you told me that you wanted to come there because you wanted to make the squad for the Euro 2016 with Lars Lagerbäck. Mm-hmm. It didn't end up that way. What happened?
I mean, okay, it's really frustrating when you're in the squad in the qualification, like 10 games, and then you're not picked for the Euros itself, biggest tournament after this. And yeah, I think, you know, myself to blame, definitely, in some way. I mean, I didn't have this massive start in Malmö. Didn't score for 6 games, and then it's, you know, you give them opportunity not to pick you basically after that, and that was probably, it was my fault. It was supposed to happen, you know, the way I, like, the reason I went to Malmö was to start good and have more opportunity to, a bigger opportunity to go to Euros, and when you don't play well 6-7 games, then yeah, they have a reason not to pick you, basically, and yeah, it's my fault. You know, I thought still, you know, because they knew me as a player, they should pick me, but yeah, this happened. And then
did Lars Lagerbäck call you?
No, he didn't do it. And I mean, of course, you think, you know, you have your 11 players. You know, you think about the most. You know, it's you have a better relationship with them, and they're your most important players. So. I think that's more important than the players on the bench. If you're playing well with your club team, we pick you. If you're not, then we don't pick you. Simple as that. But
how did you follow that summer?
I actually took it the right way. You know, I said, okay, then I'm going to show them that they're wrong, basically. And then actually everything went upwards, you know, and I started playing well, scoring, and Malmö were at the top. So yeah, that was the right answer, instead of, like, you know, you can't go to, you can't cry about everything, you know, and saying, like, you can feel sorry about for yourself and stuff like this, but you just have to play well and answer on the pitch, basically.
Did you watch the games?
Yeah, I did.
How was that?
That was difficult. I mean, it was really difficult, you know. I had so many friends on the pitch, you know, and I still, you know, I thought actually if they would go like further than they did, I would be like angry, basically. Yeah, it's like you feel like a little bit, I just felt sad when I was watching the games, basically. And but you know, I felt
mixed feelings. I guess
mixed feelings. You know, for the boys, of course, I was happy for them. You know, and it was an unbelievable journey, this tournament. And
how's your relationship with Lars Lagerbäck?
I haven't spoke with him after, you know, but he's a good guy, you know. I mean, when with the national team, when we spoke, he's a good man, and also, like, really clever, and did fantastic job for the national team, and what he did, you know, changed everything like around the national team. And yeah, what he did for Iceland, we can be thankful.
When I met you in Dubai that spring, you said it was 50-50. 50 Lagerbäck, 50 this generation of players. Do you still have the same view, that it was 50-50?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The players, they have to do the job. The coaches, they try to explain, like, how they want to play football and so on. But they made us believe, I think, the coaches there. They gave us the belief it's possible, you know, to reach, like, big tournament like the Euros, for example. And also we, like, how we played 4-4-2, old school. Just, like, not the best football, but it's really effective.
At least people from Iceland seem to like the football.
Yeah, absolutely, and they all love Lagerbäck. You know, he's a legend in Iceland, and national team. It's not many games you have. You cannot, like, you have to improve. Like, you know, you have to play well every game. It's not like you don't have any games to adjust and stuff like this. So they just need effective football, and that's what he is all for. Like, he plays effectively, and I think now even in Norway they are getting better. So he's clever.
Second qualification, or the qualification after the Euros, they went to the World Cup. You missed the World Cup also, you weren't selected, and then you retired.
Yeah.
And then you came back out of retirement.
Yeah, I did that. That's what I did. You know, now, I mean,
you did a Henrik Larsson. You retired.
Yeah, I came back.
Then you came back.
So many players internationally, they came back. They have retired.
How did you reason when you retired?
Basically, you know, I played. I think I was involved in 6 games out of 10 or 12 in World Cup qualification. I wasn't picked. Still in Israel, my 2 years there, I was, like, you know, I was scoring and playing well, I think. So I was disappointed, like, from before, but I had the experience just to, okay, just think about something else. And the reason I actually retired in the national team was more like my club team, Rostov. You know, I was not playing so much. You know, I didn't have the best of start. Actually, when I came there, first 2 months there, I went twice with the national team. I barely trained with the team, and then I was, like, always on the bench, like, coming on. And I thought, okay, maybe it might help me if I stop playing with the national team, and I can train, like, with them and do everything they want me to do. And also felt the coaches, like, the coach there, he was not too happy with the players always in the national team traveling. It's a lot of travel going to Rostov, and so I thought it would help me actually in Rostov, but really it didn't. And then they had some problems now in the first game of the qualification.
Yeah, Erik Hamrén called you into when you scored against Andorra.
Yeah. He met us in Spain. We were with Rostov, you know, and he saw we played some game, and he thought I was fit, you know, and then he asked me, because we have problems, if you can come, and most definitely you will play a part in that game. And I thought, okay, I'm fit. I've been in Hammarby for a week or something, so I thought maybe it's a good time just to start over again. And I needed games, actually. I hadn't played competitive games for a long time there, and I think I took the right decision and I scored. It was even better. So yeah, things in football happen quickly.
You will be in the squad in June, you think?
I mean, scored the last game I played. I think I had quite decent start with Hammarby. So yeah, I hope so, and I'm definitely ready for it.
For us in Sweden, Lars Lagerbäck is one thing, Erik Hamrén is something very different. What's your view?
A different type
of football and everything.
Yeah, it's I think Hamrén wants to play more football, and Hamrén is maybe more open. He talks more like to the players individually. Lagerbäck is more like, you know, teacher. He's you're not always like talking to him and and so on. But they are definitely two different types, you know. I like Hamrin, what I've seen, and I have a good relationship with him. So
he's had quite a rough start, you have to say.
I felt sorry for him, like first two games, because we were like, the players were like, I don't know what we're thinking, like the first game 6-0. And then next game 3-0 or something, and we against really tough opponents, but still the players, it was probably the worst game with the national team we played, all of us, and there's nothing for the coach, you know, he couldn't do anything to change that, you know, he had been with us for 3 days and then we played that game, so it's a nightmare start, and I felt sorry for him after that, but you know, I think now we have more time to start playing better, you know, and we have like two really important games in the summer, and I think it will be much better then, and we just have to forget about those first couple of months, and if we get results now in June, then everyone forget about what has happened.
Do you think there's a chance of a new championship for Iceland? Went to the Euros and then to the World Cup, and now the Euros 2020, and hopefully third time lucky for you.
Third time lucky, yeah. Hopefully, yeah. I mean, you know, if you look at our group, for example, I think France, they are like, you know, world class. They're gonna be first in that group, but the other teams, Turkey, Albania, us, Moldova and Andorra, I think we have a good chance to be in the second place, and I think it's two teams who go directly to...
Two teams go directly, and you don't have a second chance since you came last in your Nations League group, so
yeah.
Your only chance is to be number one or number two in your qualification group.
Okay, it's like that. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I think we have a good chance to be in the second place, and like I said, now it's super important games in June, and... Yeah, I'm positive that we will get good results there.
Then we hope that you will see you in the Euro 2020. So it's the third time lucky.
Yeah, I have to be ready when they pick the squad if we get there.
How do you handle the pressure of a big price tag? I mean, when you moved to Israel, it was quite a big price for that club, and the same with Rostov, and big salary often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you cannot think about that too much. You just think about it. They believe in you. People expect a lot from you, the fans. And just try to score a goal as soon as possible and play well. You know, that's what you can think. Just take, you know, it's always difficult. But you put also a lot of pressure on yourself, and you want to play well. You don't feel good when you're not. So...
Do you work with a mental coach?
Yeah, I do that actually a little bit, and that's good. But I think you know, after you've done it a couple of times, it's easier, and you just think you're like an investment for the club. You know, you know the price tag, it doesn't really matter anymore. I think if it's like, if you get bought for 20 million euros, I mean, I don't know how I would handle it, but yeah, that's just the way it is, and you have your price tag at this moment, you know, you have your value, and that's just the way it is. You just have to enjoy football, basically.
I guess after a hat-trick, everyone's around you, and it's great, and you're delivering, and after 3-4 games without a goal...
Yeah, that is different.
How do you handle that?
That's just, that comes with the experience, actually. But you never feel good when you haven't scored for 3-4 games, for example. I just, really, what I do, I try to train even harder. You know, I go, like, running, finishing, and everything like that. And just try to think about everything else than scoring goals, you know. And then, really, it gets better when you score your first goal after that.
You have really impressive statistics. I checked now on Transfermarkt, and there it says that you have 159 goals in 360 games, competition games in different leagues, from Iceland to now Allsvenskan. Have you always been scoring goals?
Yeah, actually, since I was young, you know. But, you know, I had this, you know, I was 19, played my first time in the Premier League in Iceland. And I think I only scored 2 goals, you know, and then I was like, I couldn't sleep during the nights when I didn't score and so on. So I was really not ready for it, I thought, you know, mentally. And right after I got injured, so I think it was a little bit like a wake-up call for me to just, you know, have to change things, you know, how I think especially. And then I felt like when I started putting more effort on training more extra. And I felt after that I could actually go abroad. It was more difficult at that time to go abroad from Iceland. You had to go to trials and stuff. And then I had my breakthrough season 2013. I scored many goals there. And yeah, you just had this, like, you know, it was the way it was back then. You had to be one of the top scorers in the league to go abroad on trial. So I felt like, okay, if I'm not going to score now, I'm just going to stay in Iceland. So, but definitely, yeah, I have scored many goals, you know, almost every season. So
yeah, and when you were a kid and starting out in football, you always forward and yeah, always scoring.
Yeah, I was striker, you know, and I scored a lot of goals when I was a kid. So I also went to my computer and wrote it down how many goals I scored every game. So it was funny.
So you had the total statistic on your own. How many did you score in your junior team?
Per season you had, like, for example, 10, 15 games, I maybe scored 50, 60 goals or something.
What did you, when you went to practice, what did you practice to become an even better scorer?
I think I always had this instinct to score goals in me, you know. I didn't have to do so much extra there, but believe it or not, I was a good dribbler when I was younger. I'm not a good dribbler today, to be honest. And then I just changed the way I played, you know. I became more central, more in the box, you know, when I was starting out in the senior level. So yeah, there are a lot of things you can fit, like you can improve there, your touch, your, you know, positioning and so on. I just, maybe, you know, it's not such a long time ago I started to change the way I played in that kind of way. I used to be more of a dribbler. That's
hard to believe.
Yeah, I can't even believe it now myself.
Now you're more of a box player, and
yeah, absolutely. I mean,
do you feel that kind of you want to be more out on the outside the box and be part of the game, or do you like being just the forward in the box?
I like to be more in the box. You know, sometimes it's good to do something else, but you know, I think to get the best out of me, the team also, I think it's best that I just stay in the box. I mean, I can go past one player, but if there are two or three, I just, you know, I can't remember how to do it. So,
which is your favorite type of goal?
That's a good question. I think it's the easiest goals. I mean, like for example, against Djurgården, I scored like close to the goalie. I mean, this is like the you call it the cheap goals. I think that's you know, my favorites at the moment, because you know it's like you feel it so easy somehow. I don't know.
Because when you watch you as a player, you're not the most technically gifted players. At least that's not what you see. But some will see it as a kind of a gift to be able to see where to be where the ball is coming. And do you feel that you have that kind of gift to be able to know how to move in the box?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And also, you know, when I have my back to the goal, I know most of the times where the goal is, you know, and don't need to use too many touches to score. I usually score first touch goals a lot. And like I said, I try to develop how I play so it's like, so I can use it in the box basically. And I know I'm not like a winger type dribbler, so I try to improve the things I can be even better at.
How's heading goals?
I actually do a lot when I get the chance to head. I haven't got many this season, I think. So, but every season I had a couple, you know, 5-6 headers, you know. So, I think that's okay, but I haven't got many chances this season to do it.
No, and I mean, you score almost every other game, which is you're keeping up in Hammarby too. And do you feel a pressure from that you've been delivering so well up until now?
No, actually not. I mean, of course, I know then I think it's not acceptable if I don't score in in every game. I'm really unhappy if I'm not scoring. So I'm really hungry to score many goals, and I think it's a really good feeling to be scoring on, scoring almost every game. So pressure is, of course, it will grow if the people see your statistics and all that. But
Do you know your statistics? Do you still have your computer with your?
No, actually, I stopped doing that. But I take a look at Wikipedia sometimes. I saw I was close to with cup and everything. I think like reaching 200 goals or even more. So I have to take a look at it again. I don't know where I'm standing now. But I put so much pressure on myself that I don't feel any pressure from any other, from the fans or the team or anyone.
Do you like milestones like that, 200 goals?
Yeah, it's good to have something, something to aim at. But I saw players like Ronaldo, Messi, they were reaching 600. Maybe I will not go there, but it's nice to get some milestone, 200, 300, somewhere there. You have to try to aim at some goal.
In when I asked you the questions in the fact box in the beginning, you said that you were proud of your golden booth in different leagues, that you've scored a lot of goals. How is it? I mean, football is a team sport, but still, you want to excel as an individual. How do you combine that? So sometimes there's a risk you only go for, I want to score my goals, I don't care about the team.
That's everyone in the team, they have different jobs. I have maybe the jobs to score, create, and of course I have this job to, I'm the first defender usually in the teams. And I think about it that way, I'm helping the team. To win games you need to score goals, and that's my job. Some other players' job is to run a lot, win every duel and stuff like that. Someone has to prevent we don't concede a goal. So that's just my job. You don't look at it until maybe after the season. I can be satisfied with this and that. So, but now you never in middle of season you're never thinking about stuff like this. It's just more after the season. Okay, maybe I did a good job. So you're not thinking now. Okay, I'm gonna get the golden boot. Because then you maybe start thinking too much and things will not go your way, I think.
Thank you very much for being part of the podcast.
Thank you.
Tack för att ni har lyssnat denna veckan. Och podden är som vanligt producerad av Olle Junell Lindberg och klippt av Daniel Eriksson. Och vi är alltid intresserade av feedback. Enklast är att mejla mig olof.lund@tv4.se eller skriva till mig på Instagram eller Twitter, och då är det Olof Lund som gäller i ett ord. Och allt är välkommet, från beröm till kritik till önskemål om gäster och annat. Stort tack för allt feedback och för att ni lyssnade den här veckan.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.